You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I just really wanted everyone to recognize.
Yes.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
First of all, to the Clipper faithful, if there's even such a thing.
Download and podcast at richeisenshow.com.
They can't possibly be upset. This happens like all the time.
Earlier on the show, Ravens receiver Marquise Brown, Pro Football Hall of Fame president David Baker, 11-year NFL veteran Joe Thomas. Coming up, actor John David Washington, plus comedian Tom Arnold. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got a couple of actors calling in, or comedian actor. Tom Arnold's an actor, right, from True Lies?
True Lies.
Come on now, right? John David Washington of Tenet will be calling in a matter of moments here on the show. We just had a great chat with Joe Thomas. Lots to unpack right there, man.
Yeah.
He said the same thing I said, right?
I know.
This is although he went higher register. This is pretty much is a must-win game. It's a week two. I didn't go high register. This is it. I know there's a seventh seed out there. You go 0-2, though, with both in division, including one against a team that starts a rookie for the first time in an away game, and it is. I know there's only 6,000 fans in the stadium tonight, but there are fans. They will be loud as possible. They bark in their... Probably going to have all sorts of swing oil in them, to use a phrase. and they're going to show up, and they're going to make life difficult for Joe Burrow, and they've got a defensive player of the year candidate supposed to wreck his night in the same way that Joey Bosa was wrecking part of his afternoon just 4 days ago, 5 days ago. This is it. You can't lose to the team that was first overall, starting a rookie quarterback, and you've got all of these guys that have made Pro Bowls or should make Pro Bowls. That's it. You got to win this game. You don't, you're 0-2. And if you win it, you're 1-1, and then you're home against a team that did choose second overall. I mean, honestly, your two of your first three games are against teams that picked 1-2 atop the draft, and the other is playing without a nickname. I mean, all the craziness off the field. Kudos to Ron Rivera, what he did and that team did coming back against the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's what's going down tonight. Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics. And based on the conversation that we had earlier on in the show about Giannis Antetokounmpo, TJ Jefferson and Chris Brockman believe if the Heat don't win, they'll be broken up for Giannis. Whatever.
Possible.
Would you want the Celtics to break this team up for Giannis?
No.
No. So why should the Heat fans?
Because it's Giannis.
You'd want to break up your Clippers for Giannis right now because of what we just saw. Although, you know what? Actually,
tried that.
No,
didn't work.
You know what? No, don't. Because this year was not supposed to be about the championship anyway. This is the year that they're beginning to just get their feet wet. Next year, the last year of the Paul George, Kawhi, Leonard contracts, that'll be the year that they're going to gel because they haven't spent enough time together.
It's funny you said that.
I still can't believe that.
No, I have a real question for you, though, TJ. Would you trade Embiid and a few other assets for Giannis?
Right now. right now.
No, this guy does not want to trade Embiid.
I love Embiid. He has a problem with Embiid. I love Embiid.
Now that is a team that needs to blow things up, because absolutely, I think that team has already seen that the chemistry between their two top stars needs a lot of work. So you might as well just blow it up and bring Giannis into Philadelphia right now. Come on. That you wouldn't want to do?
You know, Rich, the offseason really just started for me yesterday. Oh, I haven't had time to really review rosters. I haven't had exit interviews yet. We haven't even done those. I can't really give you guys an answer until I have all the information
breaking down film
in front of me.
He's still breaking down the film. You haven't seen the film yet.
And by the way, you said about next year. I told Chris, and he can attest to this, at the beginning of this season, I said, I don't know if this is the Clippers year, but year two, when they're fully gelled, watch out. So who knows?
Okay.
And when they got free agency looming after the season.
That's a big game.
Look, the Warriors are coming back next year. This was everyone's one opportunity to make something happen. If you didn't get it done this year with Steph and Klay coming back, then I don't know what you're going to do next year when they're just dropping bombs all over the place.
What if the Warriors wind up with Giannis to go with Curry and Klay healthy and Draymond and everyone else around? If they wrap it up, right?
That's another 70 wins.
Warriors versus Lakers would be.
I'll fully turn my attention to the National Hockey League if that's.
Oh, stop it!
Let's go Pens. I'll be rocking a Sidney Crosby jersey every single day.
Okay, 844-204 Rich number to dial. We'll take your phone calls as we get set for Thursday Night Football tonight. I'm thrilled to have calling into this show a star of the film Tenet, which is in theaters near you here in Los Angeles. A theater near us right now, unfortunately, is closed. But for those who are listening on the Mightier 1090, our local radio affiliate here in Southern California, San Diego and Orange County, it's opened up internationally. I think, didn't Tom Cruise like shoot video of him going to see Tenet in London or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The Christopher Nolan film that I cannot wait to see. And I'm hearing such great things about, starring John David Washington here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, John David?
I am fantastic. What's happening?
I am pleased to have you on this program. There's so many different ways to go, obviously, film and TV. But I'm going to start first with a night at NFL Network in 2006 that I had.
Okay.
I got a call because, you know, as the host of NFL Network, hey, tonight, is it possible to have somebody come over and watch the St. Louis Rams preseason game because he can't get it at home? And I'm like, who wants to come? And the answer was Denzel Washington. And so your dad came to NFL Network to watch you run the ball for a preseason game because he couldn't get it at home. That happened.
Wow. I've never heard that story before.
That's a fact. Wow. That's a fact.
Wow. 2006. Man, I was in St. Louis. That's it. That makes sense.
What was that like for you? What were you trying to get hook up with the Rams back then?
Like every young athlete in the NFL, you want to start, you want to make a career for yourself. I just wanted an opportunity to run the ball. Coming from a historically black college, I thought that I felt like I had the entire campus on my shoulders. Everybody was depending on me to make it because not a lot of student athletes from Morehouse did. So my first run in the preseason game against the Colts, I ran for, I think it was like a 9 yards from my own end zone. We were like on the inch yard line. That was like the highlight of my career. And I'll get mad at myself because if I break a tackle, I probably could have gone for like 50. I would have got hawked though because I didn't have to break one seat. But I'm actually trying to find that clip somehow. But I thought though after that run, I'd have more opportunities. I felt like, you know, that was going to get me going, and it did earn me 2 years as a practice squad member. But I never got to play. But I wanted to start. I wanted that opportunity. I wanted to play and go to the Hall of Fame someday.
Well, I mean, you still hold the Morehouse record for career rushing yards, just a yard shy of 30. And so are you telling me that you're hoping to break in here, you get a rep in a preseason game, which means the world, right?
Yep.
And it starts from the half inch, your own half inch. Like you're standing in your own end zone, literally?
Can you believe that? Exactly. I'm like, of all the scenarios, you know, it was the fourth quarter, the Colts, you know, we were against the Colts, and they're like, all right, you're up. This is your rep. I was like, are you kidding me? And then they call an inside zone play. I'm like, this is going to be a safety. I'm going to get fired. This is it, you know?
Right.
And I end up breaking it. So that is how I started my career.
My gosh. And then the Rhine fire. So I might have actually called one of your games because I called some NFL Europe games in like 2007 and beyond. So you went off. You lived in Germany and you kept it going. You kept the dream going, correct, John David?
I tried as much as I could from the NFL Europa to the UFL, play for Coach the late Denny Green with Dante Culpepper as our quarterback for a couple years there. I kept the dream alive. There's a couple players that made it from the UFL. Sendejo, the safety, he's still in the league, I believe. There's some guys that got some good looks, some real looks from the UFL. So I tried to keep the dream alive. My first start, every time I got an opportunity, I made the best of it. My first start in the UFL, I rushed for $128 and a touchdown, got player of the week. So, you know, with my opportunities, the ones that were given to me, I took advantage of, you know. And actually, it's interesting watching the NFL now. I couldn't imagine coming out of Morehouse not getting the reps because of COVID, not getting the proper looks because of a condensed, you know, or no preseason games, really. How much harder that is, how much more difficult that is to make a team, you know. So my shout out to those guys that are, you know, holding fast and still believing in themselves.
John David Washington, we'll talk about Tennant and more in a second. But so who was your running back growing up? Who were you growing up saying, this is who I want to be like, this is what I want to do?
Definitely early days because I was a little chubby kid with good feet. Jerome Bettis, Natron Means, you know, nice. Bam Morris. I love guys like that.
I love that.
Remember Bam Morris?
Yeah. Of course.
Byron Bam Morris.
Yeah, Natron Means business. I remember that, of course, here in Southern California.
And then the Ironhead Haywood, you know, I love guys like that were heavy and yet can move.
Okay. Well, I would just say this, John David. Obviously, everything has worked out very well. you know, you have found your mark, no question about it, and you are great in everything that you do. What in the world was it like shooting Tenet? I cannot wait to see this film. It is, you know, a tour de force from anybody who has seen it, that it is something that needs to be seen on a big screen. What was this like for you, John David?
It's interesting. I haven't talked about that preseason story in a long time. So thinking about it now, I guess it was sort of the same feeling going in. I felt like I was in Christopher Nolan camp, right? Yes. But instead of being an undrafted free agent, I was a first round draft pick. So I felt still a lot of, you know, pressure. I put that off to be the best I could and learning all the fight sequences. And our movie deals with the world of inversion. So everything I'm used to doing forward, advancing the ball forward, fighting forward, momentum forward, all that is reversed. You know, down is up, left is right. You know, and defending yourself is offense. So it was an incredible experience. I had the confidence because of given my background in the athletic field. But this pushed me to new limits, took me to new heights. It exceeded my expectations working alongside Christopher Nolan, which he made me feel like a teammate, like a colleague, more than just a actor for hire. And you know, I think he's the Lombardi of the directing game. I think he's one of the greatest to ever do it. And I felt that we accomplished something special, something very unique. And it's important, I think, for people to know that for 2.5 hours to go to the movie theater and forget about everything, all your problems, is a blessing. It's a luxury. I think it's worth going to the theaters for.
And again, to play the role of the protagonist, literally, that is the role. And, you know, an espionage role as well. This had to be something. Look, we all grew up wanting to be, you know, in the lead spy of a movie, whether it's James Bond or not. For you to be able to play a role like this in a film, as you say, the first overall draft choice, that is remarkable. And I can't wait to see it. I truly can't, John David.
I appreciate it. I can't wait for you to see it. It really is incredible.
Absolutely. And so also being a draft choice of Spike Lee, that's also got to be pretty damn cool as well. How did you prepare for that role? I assume you spoke to the guy who you were portraying in Black Klansman, correct?
Absolutely. The process with Spike Lee is a little different. There is the Nolan experience, and then there is the Spike Lee experience.
Yes.
So he literally called me up, told me to read the book, not asked me, told me to.
Yep.
And it always felt like this was going to happen, we were going to work. It never felt like, how do you like it? He might have asked, did you like the book? But I don't even think he cared if I said no, because he wanted me to play Ron Stallworth. To play Ron Stallworth. It was a role of a lifetime. The fact that he's a living person, Ron Stallworth, who's alive and well to this day, was a great luxury and a benefit to have him as somebody I can go to. And a lot more pressure than maybe even the protagonist, because he's still alive. But I was able to access him. He was very kind and generous with his information, Ron Stallworth was. And it was a great honor, a tremendous honor, to be able to portray him in a film like this and what he did in his life. I think he's a true American hero.
No doubt.
But Spike is something else. He's also one of the greatest coaches of all time. Has his own style, like Nolan has his own style, and I was lucky to, I sound like an athlete now, to play for them both.
And I'm just going to take a guess here that you're probably not a Knick fan, maybe growing up here on the left coast. But do you have? Did he force you to root for the Knicks on the set in any way, shape, or form, John David?
Ironically enough, check this out. Yes, mm-hmm. I am a Laker fan for life. Showtime Lakers life.
Figured that.
I have them as the greatest team, even over the Shaq and Kobe years. But I actually am a Knicks fan too. I live in Brooklyn, and the reason I'm a Knicks fan,
okay,
is because of Spike Lee. If you ever attend anybody that can attend a game with Spike Lee,
yes,
whether it be a Yankee game or a Knicks game, it'll change your whole life. It'll change how you look at sports. I mean, being in Madison Square Garden on the floor with Nick the great Spike Lee is like an experience unlike any other. It's unparalleled.
No, I grew up in Staten Island. The Knicks have just—they've beaten it out of me because they're so damn terrible, man. I just can't handle it anymore. But that's what I loved on Oscar night: Sam Jackson giving Spike grief about the Knicks as he's standing about to hand him the Oscar. That was
wasn't that cool?
That was. Before I let you go, John David, the sports figure that you met on the set of Ballers that you were actually pretty excited to meet, or anybody who cameoed on that show, you got a good story from that?
There's a couple. I mean, I didn't get to meet Tim Brown, but he had a cameo. Actually, there's a story, quick story that I'm very proud of. We were shooting a pilot with the great Peter Berg, who also believed in me early and taught me a lot about this industry. I had a friend of mine who I played with, Steven Jackson, in St. Louis,
sure,
who came to visit me in Miami. I was just like, come on down, hang out on set. And Peter Berg, he's so crazy. He had him just in the show. He just put him in. Improvised, and he was wearing all the clothes he already had. He had his own jewelry, and he ended up making the pilot and made the promo. You know, so like that was pretty cool. That Steven Jackson, he wasn't prepared to go on screen, but he's a natural, and he did it, and he made the pilot. So anybody ever watches the first episode of Ballers, that was not written in the script.
He's a great.
I think the scene where he's talking about an elephant,
yeah,
he bought an elephant.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
He's a great human being. That's Steven Jackson, John David. And again, the fact that he, you know, I assume you just crossed paths when you were trying to make the Rams, and he befriended you and stayed in touch with you. I love that guy. I love that guy.
He's like a big brother to me. He's a tremendous human being.
Well, congrats on everything that's happened for you and with you. Tenet, I cannot wait till, you know, obviously COVID allows me to go see it in the theater. Again, mm-hmm. Folks here within the sound of my voice in San Diego and Orange Counties, go check out Tenet, opened internationally. It is a tour de force, and you are welcome here anytime, John David Washington. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
Right. Thanks back at you. You got it. That's John David Washington, at John David Washington on Instagram. Man, I can't wait. Pattinson, Kenneth Branagh.
Cannot wait.
Kenneth Branagh is one of those actors who's great in absolutely everything.
Yeah, he is.
Cannot wait. Obviously, Christopher Nolan is just as good as they come to, man. Original science action film, Tenet. That's his.
Took him 5 years to write the script I was reading.
Ooh, baby.
That's a.
Have you ever taken 5 years to do anything?
Divorce.
Did that take 5 years?
Oh, longer than that.
By the way, that was also shot in IMAX, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the Emmy comes at you.
Del Tufo's IMAX divorce.
Christopher Nolan directs. We'll be right back with Tom Arnold. That'll be a lot of fun with him. He's got a podcast. We'll go down some memory lane with Del Tufo and Tom Arnold.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, our radio audience will be joining us shortly here. What are you guys laughing about over there?
We're just laughing about Tom Arnold and True Lies and stuff.
He is, one-liners are amazing.
I saw him a couple years ago at Yogurtland at the Century City Mall.
What do you? Oh yeah,
just hanging out, eating some yogurt.
Tom was a lot of fun at the Fox days of Best Damn Sports Show.
We got to get into that a little bit.
It was fun. Best Damn Sports Show was
great, ahead of its time.
It was.
I loved watching that show.
Period.
Period.
Don't forget the punctuation mark.
And didn't they go on Big Fox once and they had to change
it? That was the damn Sunday.
Yeah, they had to change the name.
We were on. I was on the plane going to
standards and practices of the.
Yeah, they wouldn't allow it.
They
went
about damn. So John Sally in commercial break goes damn, and yeah, we were on a flight. I think we were going to the Pro Bowl at that point because I had just left Fox. That was a Super Bowl. Best Damn was fun. I mean.
All right, we're back here on our Rich Eisen Show radio network. We're streaming on Peacock as well. We're keeping an eye on the leaderboard. Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed are in the clubhouse as of this recording right here. 5-under and 4-under par in Wingfoot. Rory McIlroy, 3-under. Tiger finished even. That's not bad. I'd sign for that. Even par. Back here on the Mightier 1090, as well as the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
Tiger's 3-over.
3-over?
3-over.
Oh, my gosh. That's 8 back.
Doubled 18.
How did the pro who Michael O'Keefe looped for Monday and Tuesday, Danny Ballin's his name. He's at Fresh Meadow Country Club in Lake Success, New York. He got in the U.S. Open and PGA Championship because due to COVID-19, they said we're gonna take the top three off the PGA Club Pro Player of the Year list, and you're in both the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship. Well, how did he do?
So he started out rough. He started on number 10 and was 5-over on his front nine,
yep,
which was the back nine.
Is there a butt?
But he finished plus 3. He's even with Tiger.
Nice.
So he's still in the mix.
Okay.
Still in the mix. Plus 3. Not bad.
I have a quick question for you guys. Despite the fact that I'm one of the best putters in the world, as you can see at the top of every hour,
that's true.
I don't know a lot about golfing. You've said he was looping, and yes, I didn't pick up on what that meant yesterday.
That's a caddy loops because basically you go on a loop around a golf course from hole 1 to hole 18. It's like a loop.
So why is it not that he's caddying for him?
I don't know what to say. It's just another phrase.
Just another name.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Just say, like, just with the ultimate of respect, quitting and giving up are just two different ways of saying you're no longer a Clipper fan. Is that wrong?
I mean, that wasn't even necessary. We could have just left
wrong?
It at...
Gunga. Gunga Galunga.
Yeah. So, yeah, Gunga, basically, at the end of this playoffs, you're going to have total consciousness.
You got that. So I got that
not liking the Clippers,
which is nice. Okay, this gent has got his own podcast now, Two in the Bush podcast, along with Sasha Boggs. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Drops every Monday. Our buddy Tom Arnold back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Thomas?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing, man? How are you?
I am doing great. I am doing better for talking to you.
Well, that's good. Was your show on TV? See?
I don't know. With NBCSN, there's people playing soccer. There's people biking in France.
I see biking.
This like
fast forward biking. Yeah, maybe I put it in fast forward.
When was the last time you went on a? What was the last time you rode a bike, Tom?
I 2 days ago with my kid's little bike. I tried to prove I could do it, so he should get on it.
Okay,
yeah.
And
a lot of that.
So your father of the year is what you're saying. You did a father.
Yeah, I really am. Well, I don't know. I kept him out pretty late, but with my assistant in a pretty bad neighborhood. So baby father of the year.
Okay, fantastic.
Had him go down and start the car for me down in Koreatown.
Okay.
Get the car ready to go. But pretty much father of the year.
You are. Yeah. I understand that. We were going down memory lane. Mike Del Tufo was going down memory lane about Best Damn Sports Show, period. Tom.
Yeah, I heard that. I want to help fill in some information there for you.
Okay.
I think he was talking about the Jacksonville Super Bowl.
Okay.
If I'm not right, and we went live
on Fox.
The big network
on Big Fox. You were normally
big. Yeah. Our biggest opportunity ever.
Yep.
And what they did is they pushed a button in L.A. It was the wrong piece of tape.
Yep.
It was a piece of tape, the practice piece, where we went down, and then Sal started saying, God, blanket, 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 you stupid people who go to church on Sunday, because it was Sunday morning before the Super Bowl, and you guys are stupid enough to, we're here. You know, it was just messy. We were laughing.
Get
out. It was a tape we weren't going to use, and that's what happened. And then, so we played that wrong tape, and the people, especially in the area there, they're Jacksonville, Florida.
Of course. Anywhere, Tom.
America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to America. So they got a call because all the big wigs are on a boat down there.
Yes.
And it was our one opportunity to maybe take the show and move it up a little bit. And there was just all those swear words about the stupid people that go to church. They're very sensitive. And, we had such a great time. We were down there all week. And what I remember the most about the game was it was a tight game. And Donovan McNabb was quarterback, obviously, for the Eagles.
Right.
And he was very sick. I mean, he was very, out of his mind and vomiting.
Yep.
And they didn't think about the game. And I was down right on the field. And then, Tom Brady... we're going, oh, my gosh, what can we get on the field? What can we get on the field? And I couldn't see the clock, and my Bardia, my...
Bardia Shiraz, the producer. Yep.
Yeah, he goes, go now, go. And I ran out there, and he just got tackled for what would be the last play. They're going to run it out. And I got on him, literally got on top of him. There's still 7 seconds left. So I go, how do you feel? I had no questions. How do you feel? I never did. And he gets up, he starts talking, he goes, oh, this is so fantastic. He starts to unfurl his body, and then he looks at my microphone. Then he looks at me and realizes who it is, and then he just kind of pushes my mic out of the way. Where are the real journalists? And just walks off. But wait, and it was very funny for our show.
Wait, so hold on a second. Tom Arnold, you're saying that when Tom Brady became, to date, the last quarterback in the NFL to win back-to-back championships, something that Patrick Mahomes hopes to do later on. The first person he saw with time still on the clock in Jacksonville was Tom Arnold with a Best Damn Sports Show period Mike Cube in front of him. That happened.
I got in very bad trouble for the NFL. You're supposed to do that. And I was in the pile. I got down there, stuck my bike in. Like, this is a I had no question to ask you either. I never did. I see people, I go, I remember we went to the locker rooms, and they saw Andy Reid come out of his locker room, and he started walking towards us down the long hall, and Barty is like, you got to ask him something. I'm like, I am no way. What? He just lost the Super Bowl. What do I ask him? Did you lose? How does it feel? They're like, yeah. I go, not asking that. No way. This is embarrassing. I'm going to look at the wall, but then he walked by me. I'm not going to ask him. He must be so upset. No. And then he got by me, and I go, hey, I talked to your wife. She's really nice. And he'll say something. It became the awkward thing because we also had to get out the door, which was on the other side of him.
Yeah.
So it was a long hall walk.
I'm like, your wife's really nice and met her. Okay. All right. And, but it's really funny. But, and he's also a very nice guy. I was so happy when Andy Reid won the Super Bowl.
Me too.
A lot of memories came back, you know.
Well, look, at least, but at least in what probably has to be to date, even, you know, obviously getting let go by your team or mutually parting ways, your team as he did in Philadelphia, he knew, he had to know that there was something else coming up for him, so he had to be fine there. The lowest professional moment for him has to be losing the Super Bowl. At least you were there to help soften that blow, Tom.
Yeah. You know, he still practiced well. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And he's still in the Super Bowl, though. Being in the Super Bowl is a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So who is the best? So you got a good Deacon story from back in the day?
Deacon well, Jones Deacon, you know, he was there for day one, man. And he was, you know, Deacon was always bitter because they didn't count. Sacks when he first started.
That's right.
And Deacon was very. He had narcolepsy, but it wasn't like official narcolepsy. But he did. He was tired, and so he went to sleep a lot. he literally went to sleep a lot. But he's one of those men that could go to sleep a lot. Like, you know, they could just go to sleep, and it wasn't like it was good because everybody needs to rest. But he went to sleep a lot. He just was one of those guys that had that ability. And a lot of times it was on the show. And but he was also, he had the energy. He'd get up and, you know, we had to, since when somebody, you know, those slave shows, well, somebody has the ability to do one thing.
Yes.
And he did, he had the ability to slap people at the side of the head. And so, you know, I got slapped a lot at the side of the head. He had giant bony fingers.
Huge.
He loved to do that. But we did wear helmets. We did it the first time. They got such a pain to put the helmet on. We had to recreate that hand slap. And then I think towards the end of, like, the third month, he realized, oh, Michael Irvin's going to come in and replace me. So then he, you know, became a little indignant, which I don't blame him.
Yes.
And then the hand slaps, it's like he had the beads. They become very heavy beads because they kind of started snapping back. And he was a little passive aggressive. I don't even know passive, but he was such a nice guy. He had so much more to do. He really had so much more to do, and I love him. He also had trouble remembering, you know, people's names or that was good for everybody.
Oh man,
everybody. And they were saying the names in your ear, like, you know, you're Bob Hope or something. But like, hey, right. This is this is okay. That's Rich Eisen. He's like, Rick. Yes. Tyler, you know, and nobody knew.
But he was Deacon Jones, man. I mean, he's Deacon Jones. I got Tom Arnold here.
I love Deacon Jones so much.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him so
much.
Me too. But he was brilliant. He was brilliant.
So tell me about your tell me about your pod, Tom.
Listen, man. I have, you know, I live with my kids. I'm a 61-year-old single dad with a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And somebody has to help us here. I have this young assistant. I always say young because I'm old.
Right.
And then she ends up, because of COVID, staying here with me and the kids. And she's great with my kids. We one day say, let's do a podcast. Nobody's leaving the area here. She did a podcast. She's hilarious. She's a comic. And then what we ended up talking about is our point of view or the comics I like or my career and what's been the influences on her. And, you know, I just talk about these great athletes when I was growing up. You know, the day Al Kaline died. Now, I know that's not. But I just said why he was so important to me. Just guys like that can say they played every day. And they just showed up. And, you know, things like this and that. I talk about, you know, the Chicago Cubs growing up. But I asked one guy, Dave the Ghost Hunter, that was here. We were talking about how much that meant to us and Harry Carey and my other buddies, you know, Jack Buck in Southeast Iowa, the announcers, the players, but just meant so much to us. And I asked her if there's anybody like that in her life, and she said, John Mayer. And then I said, and it made me so mad that she would say that. And I said, why? Well, you know, I really felt like he, whatever. And it was so stupid. You know, John Mayer, on the other hand, is a really great guy, does things. But, you know, he doesn't represent the the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, or Al Kaline, you know, for that matter. He's, I don't even know if he's the
Al Kaline for sure.
Yeah, no, he's not the Al Kaline of musicians. I mean, he's good in his own right, but I don't know.
Yeah,
if
I put, it really got was upset. I mean, I took sure. Really, I was scared that I would have to make her leave the house because I thought well, at that moment, I was like scared, like I brought somebody that just could, what could even get that I could never speak to again, basically. And we're gonna have a podcast, so we have a lot of fun. And she is a character. All my friends, you know, Tish. You know, I get a call from Tish, and he's like, "Hey, what's hey, that kid's good? Yeah, how are you doing? Good. You, what's the deal? You and Sasha's very cute, right? What's the deal? She just I go, yeah, you know, she's my assistant. We do the podcast and stuff. Oh, you guys aren't. I go, no, she's 30 years. She's 30 years old. Like I tell him, she's 37 years old. He goes, oh, I didn't think so. So, you know, with you being.
Well, I mean, look, Tom. I mean, I know you go way back with your buddy Steve there. And yeah. What'd you think of the Giants opener? What'd you think of the Giants opener?
Hey, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I've seen worse. But, you know,
by the way, you can't. That's let's put it this way. I don't think the Giants are going to make that the slogan for their 2020 team video. You know
what
I mean?
Slogan, yeah. What's your slogan?
The Giants, 2020 Giants. Hey, we've seen worse. You can't. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, hey, I'm so happy football's back.
Me too, brother.
I was like it. I just thought, you know, and now our Big Ten's coming back. I heard.
Well, I hope so too. Yeah, you're Mr. Iowa. Hey, man, look, I'm really fired up about your pod, Two in the Bush podcast.
Thank you, man. I do watch your show every day.
Good.
You have a TV show, right?
Yes, sir. When they're not cycling, but we're on Peacock. Get Peacock and stream it. It's great. It's amazing.
Okay, I'm doing that. Thanks, Rich. You're the voice of football, you know. Right, you always are.
Yeah, I love you, Tom. You take care of yourself.
I love you guys.
Right back at
all
you.
All right, man. Thanks for having me
See
on.
You, buddy.
You
got
it. Bye now.
It's Tom Arnold, everybody. It's Tom Arnold.
One of a kind.
Now, hold on a second here. I have a completely different story about the way the Jacksonville Super Bowl ended. A totally different story.
Wait, so Tom said that with
one
7 seconds left, he ran out on the field.
Yeah, because Bardia would get out there quick. You know Bardia, or the producer that we know.
Hold on a second. I'm fully that means there's got to be NFL Films footage of Tom Arnold getting on the field. Right?
Yeah.
There definitely wasn't 7 seconds left on the clock. That I have to say. There's no way that you're watching the end of the Super Bowl
right,
and there's Tom Arnold running on the field.
But
people run on the field as soon as it's all over. And NFL security or stadium security knows that. And you have to have the proper.
That didn't start.
No, hold on
yet,
a second.
Though.
No, Mike. Hold on.
Oh. Go ahead.
You have to have, and I'm not talking about the credential around your neck. You have to have the proper, like, vest
to run on the field. After that.
They did not.
Are you sure?
My story of the Jacksonville Super Bowl, Tom Arnold is running onto the field with his best damn sports show mic flag, I'm standing with the former producer of the best damn sports show, who is the executive producer of NFL Network. Eric Weinberger and I were standing next to each other in the end zone that Brady was going away from. We're in the end zone. Each of us have a director's chair that we are going to place onto the field to create the first ever NFL Network post-game show set at a Super Bowl that NFL Network is producing. The first Super Bowl we did was Brady winning the year before in Houston against Jake Delhomme and the Carolina Panthers and John Fox. We did the post-game show, but we, meaning me and Solomon Wilcots, with NFL Films producing it because they did the international feed of the game. We used their truck because the entire NFL Network crew flew to Hawaii to do the Pro Bowl. You were part of that.
Yep.
You flew early to set up. I just stayed behind. We didn't do any pregame show, and the only postgame show we did for NFL Network was just me and Solomon Wilcots. This one, though, we said, we're doing it. NFL Network is producing it. We're keeping a truck. We're going to leave the next day for the Pro Bowl, which we did, flying through Atlanta and then through Denver. We took three planes to get there. The entire crew, including Adam Schefter, walking onto the plane in sunglasses like it was an Almost Famous. I'm telling you, that was one of our favorite moments. We gave him so much crap. But the reason why I bring this up again is we were getting set to set up the set. They had lights. We had the chairs. It was just, you know, just a small group of people. We were all, the more you could do to help.
Yep.
So we were setting up our own set. And all we were told is do not go on the field until the confetti goes up in the air. That's what we were told. The confetti goes in the air, you're allowed to go on the field. But certain people weren't. And Eric and I were just ready to go. And someone to our left, wearing the wrong colored vest, ran onto the field before the confetti went off. Maybe he saw Tom Arnold running on the field. And security took this guy right down to the ground and tied his hands behind his back the spot.
I can imagine.
And Eric and I looked at each other, watching this whole thing happen as the guy was let off with his camera hanging around his neck. And we looked at each other. We just said, okay. And put our seats down because the confetti was going off. That was my perspective of the end of that Super Bowl. I don't know how the hell Tom Arnold got on the field.
Well, Fox had the game. It was Fox had the Jacksonville Super Bowl. Because that was the first one I didn't do.
Fuck, by the way, that was the first one Joe Buck ever called.
Yeah.
Because Madden Summerall did Brady's first championship three years before in New Orleans. So this was the first of Buck, and I don't think it was Aikman yet. I think it was still Collinsworth. It might have been Collinsworth in the booth with him.
Stand by.
If I had a bet. But at any rate, it was Fox doing it.
So
I know
he might have had, if he had the credential, Arnold
he could have just,
kinda,
you go.
Yep.
You go.
If he had, like, the all-access back then, which they now is like.
But that's funny that Brady's just like, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Like, he immediately said, this is the most amazing thing. He's like, wait a minute, why is Tom Arnold the best damn sports show here?
Three-man booth, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Collinsworth.
Wow.
With Pam and Chris Myers on the sideline.
How about that? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And I got a great Deacon Jones story, too, based on the whole Hall of Fame. We'll tie it all together. That's what I do is I take strings and I tie them all together. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, GEICO.com. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Okay, so this is our Peacock lineup right here every single day. The U.S. Open is round one of the U.S. Open is on Golf Channel, NBC, and Peacock TV today. Coverage shifts to NBC at 2 p.m. Eastern, then moves exclusively to Peacock TV at 5 Eastern.
I have Peacock from 5 to 7 Eastern today. Cannot wait for that.
I love being part of this.
Me too.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a postseason, NFL postseason game on Peacock as well.
Really?
Yeah. Mike, you want to do sidelines for it? I can. I know some people.
I'm in. I'm way better on the mic than I used to be. I could do it. I'd be a great side. That was my dream.
Well, you did, you did Seton Hall basketball, right?
Yeah, and I used to go in the stands when the other guys called the game. Rich, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, you threatened to bring in your tapes.
Through. I have one or two. I got to look.
Just kick over whatever Olaf coffee maker you have and go look for it.
They're 25 years old. I actually came up with an innovation that was way ahead of its time.
Oh, my God.
For radio, I went out in the arena in the Meadowlands.
Yes.
And went and did, like, interviewed.
Man,
like,
you created PJ Man on the Street interviews?
No. I did not say that. You see, don't put words in my mouth. But seriously, I went out. I put a little IFB in and went out with an RF microphone and walked around.
Hold on a second. Before you continue.
Yeah.
Chris Brockman. If we took a transcript of what just came out of his mouth over the last 40 seconds, would it not read as if he said he created Man on the Street interviews?
Doesn't that
sound like what he said?
I did something
that nobody else has done. Chris.
It sounds
if
like
we
it.
Do word for word transcript of what he said.
Yeah.
I was innovative, I said.
I know.
I didn't say I created it. The K-Corner, I didn't create. The New York Times credited
me. You said never
me.
Done before. That's creative.
Yeah. Never done before is...
In radio, that was a new thing. I never saw that done in
what
radio.
Do you mean?
You never heard that in radio.
What, Man on the Street interviews?
Not
for sports?
Not remotely.
Well, not, then, how else do you do a...
Hold on.
Wait a second.
No, wait. Please. I'm sorry. It's got nothing to do with that. It's better if it's just a one person.
Yeah, I think we're on the same. We're simpatico, so yeah, please. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
We're all on
Rich
the same
is
right
usually there. The good... Yeah, you guys don't understand. I used to think stuff up like that and make innovative stuff like that when I was a kid.
Drop.
That was my whole thing.
Drop.
I don't have to drop.
Please ask the question, Rich.
Go ahead, Rich.
What are you talking about?
I
think we need to reset here.
I have people that can corroborate
this. I think
this.
We need to reset.
I have people that can corroborate.
Are we back on our radio yet? Are we back on the radio yet? I don't know if you
we're back.
Okay, we're back. Okay. So we're back on the radio.
Yeah, we're live on the
for
radio.
Those who just joined us.
oh, man.
We spent the... By the way, this is one of the many reasons for you to get Peacock. Because there's more of the show on Peacock. And then on top of it, when Mike Del Tufo says the fact that you were innovative when you were part of the Seton Hall basketball radio broadcast team.
Yep.
Of which there are tapes. They exist.
They exist.
Threaten to bring them in. And every time we say, please bring them in, you say, I don't know where they are. You got a lot of stuff. Like you're the hoarder of Marina Del Rey, you know, whatever. Then you said that you were innovative when you did that, and that you did stuff that nobody's ever done before, and then described.
Hold
you
on,
described
there's a word.
Man on the
I
street
never said
interviews.
Nobody had done. I did something that no one had done.
So what is
at
that?
Seton Hall
and
before,
that is what?
And I was innovative. I put a guy out walking around the arena, interviewing people, the coach when we would go to halftime and the postgame. I was Carlissimo. I didn't physically do it all the time because I sat engineering.
Right. But you were producing it.
I produced and engineered it.
And you were the
I was the first guy that got every game on for 2 years in a row.
Idea to say, you go interview the coach at halftime.
Yes, because, and I didn't know what IFBs were and stuff. Rich, the thing that you're wearing in your ear, I didn't know what that was back then.
No, I understand. You were just cutting
your
teeth.
I was like a moron back then. Now I'm smart. And
are you taking credit?
No, I am not taking credit.
Are you taking credit?
No, and that was high. I went
are you taking credit for innovating the idea of coaches being interviewed during a game at halftime?
No, I saw it on TV and I wanted to do it on radio. I was innovative.
Are you taking
myself.
Credit for doing it on the radio and being that?
No,
you call yourself an innovator.
Innovator?
You just said you innovated after seeing something on television that you wanted to do on radio.
I had to make it work.
This is a direct quote. I've done things that were never done before. That's what you said.
Innovation. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
I was an innovator.
He said that.
I like that word.
He said he didn't come up with man on the street, but he was the first one to do it remotely. Well, how else do you do a man on the street if it's not?
He also said
the
he's never.
It's not. It's not a studio. The man,
also
man
said,
in the studio.
You,
yeah.
What do you got a transcript?
He also
over
said
there,
you'd never seen anything like that before, but it's radio, so you would have never heard it. You know what I mean?
Touche.
So.
But he's the king of. He's the king of when you're setting a level and you want to show how it sounds different. You say watch.
Yeah, I do.
You look at me
I
mean, say watch this, get, watch this, and you're
radio,
doing something auditory. Say watch this,
watch this. I've been saying
and
that.
Then
so
you, and then sometimes when you're like. Showing something that you're doing with your hands, you say, listen.
I do that all the time.
That's what he does all
the
time.
That's the Italian in me. Watch it.
Look, I was sitting at home with all my friends. That's my God. I was home alone with all my friends, oh, and then I came God. Up with this idea.
That would actually be great for the COVID era.
But pitching to Kevin O'Leary.
Just in case, would have been great for that.
Oh, my God.
You guys made fun of me. I had less than 24 hours. Give me a producer.
Well, but you had said that you've been working on that idea for 7 years.
This is
yeah, really only 24 hours.
I mean,
at that point.
To go to the Shark Tank guy.
That took a lot of guts.
I did.
You
were
great.
Didn't want to do it.
I did not want to do it.
Kevin O'Leary
and
Steve didn't want
to
do it.
Over me right. to get it.
Okay.
Then I let it.
Oh my God. You undercut yourself. I don't think it's part of what we're about to show. But you saying, when you started saying that you came up with the idea when you were home alone with your friends.
I mean. It was a little scary up there in front of Kevin O'Leary.
When you guys said those words,
like he's the king of the show.
Two things hit me sitting here at this desk. One is, what's he looking? How did that one land? And then two, this is exactly how I wanted this to go.
100%.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's, about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Oh, here he's into it.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there, and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it, and you could check in with this app. And other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it.
Just to get the whole story before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
You'd, a subscription per month.
People are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap.
If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a
but
month for that.
But in theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check
when you're
in?
You're dead. Like, who cares?
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You what have to tell it you're not
the
dead.
The app would tell
not
you
dead yet.
That you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to him on the phone. You don't have to call him. And if it's a kid, you know the kid.
If you think you're, if you're worried your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say
mother, Mike.
People don't call their mother and father. Live 2,500 miles away every day.
Mom, I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother dies.
Exactly.
Kevin O'Leary.
Terrifically bad. Really bad. Really bad.
Truly is one of my favorite moments. And if 2 days away from the 3-year anniversary of it. Happy anniversary, Mike.
Wow. I mean.
But you did. You hung in there.
I did it. I mean, that took a lot of guts.
It took a lot of guts.
But visual evidence.
I sucked on TV back then.
Visual evidence.
I'm all
visual back then. Visual, but you're an innovator. Always been an innovator.
I love you, Rich.
I always do things that's never been done before.
Oh, what a fun show we had today. I want to thank Hollywood Brown. I want to thank Tom Arnold. I want to thank John David Washington, Joe Thomas, David Baker, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Fame president. We talked about Deacon with him, and we talked about Deacon with
Tom Arnold.
Quick Deacon story, and we're talking about the jacket dinner. The jacket dinner is a beautiful event you put your jacket. It's where the Pro Football Hall of Famers get their jackets. It's the day before the speech and the day before they get the bust. So it's literally the first tangible item makes a dawn on them that they've got something.
You crush it every year when you host.
And I love doing it. And you just see some moments of fathers and sons, daughters and fathers, and wives and husbands just, you know, on the stage culminating in this life moment. So when Shannon Sharp got in, Sterling was the one who slipped the jacket on him, and the two of them hugged. Oh, yeah. And it was a beautiful moment. Beautiful moment amongst two brothers who have been through everything. And the fact, again, that Sterling should get a jacket slipped on him, too. All right?
Definitely.
It just was just so moving. And it was the front page of the newspaper the next day.
That's right.
This beautiful photograph to show about how emotional the moment is. And you heard what David Baker say. It's all about moments. And I'm standing in the lobby of a hotel, and there is Sterling, and there is Shannon, and there's Deacon Jones holding up the newspaper, looking at the photo, and just saying, "What the F is this?" crying. And he just called him all sorts of names, and the two of them just shook their heads. And it was one of those, "Deacon, what is this?" Oh, my gosh. Browns tonight, right? Browns?
No, Browns I'm taking the Bengals.
Oh, baby. What Friday show is going to be if that happens. Oh, it'll be on and cracking.
Hit that, Mike.
If that happens. Oh, my. I'm taking the Browns tonight. I think we talk about a team that's right at the ship a little bit.
We'll see.
If not, oh, boy. Either way, we'll see you Friday, everyone.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 89 earthquake World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, The Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.